Jesus, we just thank you. It's already been a good meeting. No pressure here. Good grief. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing, Lord. And we just say yes to you, Lord. Yes. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, God, that your word is present, Lord, to heal, to restore, Lord, to prune, to set free, to give fresh mercy to. We thank you for that, Lord. And we just bless these people. Their ears would be open. Come on, not just in the physical, but in the spiritual, Lord. Their ears would be open. We speak right now that ears would be open to hear the word of the Lord, to hear your Father's voice, to hear your chief shepherd's voice. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Hey, if you got a Bible, would you open up to Exodus chapter 25? Exodus 25, verses 17 through 22. I'm a little bit all over in the scriptures tonight. The topic is very similar. It's the same kind of thread all the way through it. But as we're getting going here, just put your finger there. Again, Exodus 25, starting verse 17. Just put a finger there. I just want to share something real quick. You know, my life, I grew up in a Christian home. My father is a pastor. It was a Baptist church that I grew up in. And it wasn't a strict Baptist church. It was conservative for sure, but they weren't against the things of the Holy Spirit. They just didn't talk about them in public. And so what would happen is people would begin to encounter God in the private or in ministry settings, but there was no explanation from the pulpit. And so when stuff started coming out in the pulpit, then it was kind of like, wait a second, we didn't even know this stuff existed. And that causes issues. Anybody ever? So the life that I lived, though, was that I would go to church, and it was a Baptist church, and I would come home, and my parents were closet charismatics. I remember distinctly being in my bedroom, and my parents would have people over for counseling sessions, and people would be manifesting demons at our dinner table. I'm casting them out, you know, going on mission trips with my dad, and he'd be baptizing people, and people would be manifesting demons, you know, and like, I thought that was normal. It wasn't my normal church expression, because when it came to like corporate expressions, I had no room for it, because I'd never seen it modeled. And so when I saw it modeled finally, where I saw, you know, like Holy Spirit's out of the box, or he's the one behind the curtain over there, you know, like when I finally saw it modeled in a main service where there was like manifestations of God and then people were getting saved and set free and it was awesome, you know, that freaked me out because I had never seen anything like that. Are you alive? Part of though my journey personally is that I had a mother who would have encounter after encounter after encounter with Jesus. She would like wake up in the morning and tell me about dreams that she had with Jesus. Like, she's walking down the beach with Jesus. You know, Jesus would be telling her stuff. I remember hearing this growing up, like my mom talking to me about the things that God was teaching her, the things that God was speaking to her. You know, and so it was normal for me to have an expectation that God would talk to me. Like, that's just normal. I didn't think it was weird that God would talk to me. I can't speak for you. I have no idea what your experience is. I am here to tell you tonight that it's totally normal that God would talk to you. That's the section right there. It's totally normal that God would talk to you. There is a section of the body of Christ that now that would say that God doesn't speak to people anymore, that because he wrote a book, he doesn't have to talk to anybody. Come on, some of you might know authors like that, right? Because you write a book, you don't have to be sociable anymore. Do you think that God, the creator of the universe, who took his time so, that had more thoughts about you than the sand of the seashore, that was willing to sacrifice his son to pay the ultimate price so that you could be purchased, that he would purchase you, and then after you come into the kingdom and you receive the Holy Spirit and are sealed and you come to life as a baby in this new kingdom, that he would just say to you, I'm sorry, I'm not talking to you anymore. Read my book. Right? Come on. It sounds as dumb as it sounds. God's talking to you. He talks through all sorts of stuff, you know, and we've talked about this in the script, you know, in this, these services in the past, and just walking through the scriptures about how to hear God's voice and, you know, walking through all that stuff. I don't want to talk to you about that tonight, but I need to start with this idea. Like, God's talking to you. You're hearing his voice. If you're a sheep, you know his voice. Like, you don't need to worry about being deceived because the scripture says that you know his voice, and a stranger's voice you won't even follow. You don't need to worry about that kind of stuff. If you're not hearing his voice, you need to worry about whether you're a sheep or not. Because his sheep know his voice and follow him. Like, this is basic. We're talking foundational, relational structure. Like, you need to learn to relate with God and have him relate with you. That is relationships 101. It's going to require you to relate. Right? And so when we're talking about God's voice, we're starting with this fact. Like, you know his voice. You may not always recognize it. Have you ever had an experience or an encounter, or you walk into life and you learn a lesson? Right? And then you walk into life and you learn another lesson. You walk into life and you learn another lesson. And you look backwards and you're like, gee, I think God was trying to say something to me. Right? Because you got three lumps from lessons in life, and you didn't recognize in the moment that he was trying to get all your attention and help you to understand something. And so you went through that process a couple times before you recognized it. Come on, I have a 2-year-old. I know what this is like. Hey, Ava. Ava, this is the name of my 2-year-old. Ava. Ava! Right here. Focus. Focus. You don't think God does that to you? Come on. If he has a message for you, he's not going to let you miss it. That should not be an anxiety point in your life. You don't need to worry about missing God's voice. Amen. Good point, Pastor Jamie. Let's pat myself on the back here. Exodus 25, 17 through 22. You got it? You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. This is God speaking to Moses concerning the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, or a box. He's going to inlay it with gold, and he was going to create this top for it. And the top was called the mercy seat. You should create a mercy seat out of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide. You shall make 2 cherubim, which are angels, of gold. Make them of hammered work at the 2 ends of the mercy seat, one cherubim at one end, 1 cherubim at the other end. You shall make the cherubim of one piece with the mercy seat and its 2 ends. The cherubim shall have their wings spread upward, covering the mercy seat with their wings and facing one another. The faces of the cherubim are to be turned towards the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant, or the box. And in the ark, you're going to put the testimony which I give you, which will be the 10 Commandments. There I will meet with you. Now look at this. There I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim, which is upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel. Now I just want you to recognize this. That Jesus shed his blood, and that blood atoned for your sins. That blood was sprinkled on this mercy seat to atone for your sins. That after Jesus' blood was sprinkled and the Holy Spirit was given to you and that he sealed you on the inside, right? That you have been sealed in Christ Jesus by his Holy Spirit, that you yourself became the tabernacle of God. God is living inside of you, right? And his voice is speaking from where? That mercy seat, that point of mercy, where Jesus has washed you clean. You have Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You are his tabernacle. And out of you, out of your innermost person, inside of you and your spirit man, Holy Spirit, is there. And God is speaking to you from there. The search for God is not in the universe out there. The search for his voice is not running around from thing to thing or event to event. The search for God's voice happens with his Holy Spirit living in you. It's also amazing to note is this, is that the place of mercy is the place of his voice. I want you to connect these two things tonight because, honestly, if you can walk away with this truth, your life will be better. That it actually requires the mercy of God to interact with you. He is so big and so awesome that if he showed up and went, boo, we'd all die. He is the voice of many waters. He is the voice that when he speaks, universes pop into being. There's so much power in his voice. There's such an unlimited life flow and glory coming from him that it actually requires mercy for him not to kill you every time he talks to you. Oh, come on. I want you to get your head around this and your heart around it because every time God speaks to you, there is fresh mercy being released. Like you had a bad week, you know all you need? You just need to hear from God. That's it. You don't need the priest to sprinkle something over you. You don't need the consultation of all your friends. That's not what you're needing. You don't need a good worship service, although they help. You know, it's good coming amongst the people, you know, where God's presence is so manifested. It's awesome, right? Two or more gather in his name. He's there in the midst. It's a whole different experience. It's awesome. But what I'm telling you tonight is that where he speaks, that point of reference, just his voice, one word from God sets you free. Boom, done. So if you felt like you were struggling, you had bondage coming in tonight, all it's going to take is you hear from God. Boom, done. John 6. John chapter 6, verses 59 through 68. This is a good one. Look at your neighbor, slap him and say, this is going to be good. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard these things, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? Jesus was conscious that his disciples were grumbling at this and said to them, does this cause you to stumble? He just told them that if they were going to be his followers, that they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Would anyone else have a problem with that if I said that tonight? No. You have to be a vampire. Right? This is a hard statement to all the disciples. The people who are actually following him are like, this is hard. I don't know if I can quite swallow this, right? Jesus said, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? In other words, whoop, into heaven. It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. In other words, the words he's speaking weren't about you interpreting it through the flesh. Like, he's not talking about actually drinking his blood or eating his body. What's he actually referencing? See, we have the advantage, 2020 view of looking backwards through history. What's he really talking about? He's talking about communion. He's talking about the sacrifice on the cross. He's referencing the communing with his body and blood. Right? You and I know that, but if we were sitting there, we'd probably have a problem too. He said, this is spirit and life. There are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted from the Father. As a result of this, many of the disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, you want to go away also? Like, are you leaving? Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. Every time God speaks, life is released. You may not always understand. I love that, Kevin. Like, I have no problem getting the revelation. It's the interpretation. That's totally biblical, dude. Yeah, absolutely. You hear from God, you don't always comprehend it. If you always comprehend what he's trying to say to you, like in your conscious mind, then it's probably just your own inner voice. I probably need to say that again. If you understand everything that God's saying to you, like all the time, and it sounds a lot like, you know, your own inner conscious, and you understand everything he's saying, then chances are that you're probably just listening to your inner voice. I have found God to be incredibly simple and incredibly profound. Like, he'll say something, and then it won't actually hit you for years. I'm still, like, figuring out some of the stuff that he has said to me. Like, I'll be sitting, this happened to me last week, if you were here last Saturday. It happened to me while I was standing here. I'm preaching, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, that's what you meant. That's awesome. I was having my own little party on the inside. I may not always understand. I know there's life on it, though. Life gets released. My insides light up. Like, oh, that was good. What did he say? I don't know, but it was good. John 15, 1 through 3. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it'll be more fruitful. Now look at this. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Okay. First of all, good going, Kevin. Hey, buddy. Also, thank you for saying, I'm not quite sure always what this means, because then you left room for me to explain something. That works. That's good. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. In the school of ministry, I teach a class called the Wisdom Class, and we go through the Proverbs, and we spend large chunks of time studying the topic of wisdom and seeing practical life stuff out of the Word. And one of the topics that we talk about is discipline. Discipline and instruction. And just for simplicity's sake, let me just give you these like definitions or how you would define these things, okay? Instruction sounds like this. It is specific information given as a direction leading to less options. Okay? It's specific information that's given to you as direction, like I'm telling you what to do, but it leads you to less options. For instance, hey, Jim, could you come up here a second? Do you notice how Jim didn't run to the back of the room? Right? He wanted to, yeah. He's not sure. He's nervous. No, what did I just do? I just gave him an instruction. It was in the form of a request. However, there was intention behind it, and it led him to not have less, to not have more options. It gave him one specific option. Right? Okay. Thank you, Jim. Yeah. instruction. Discipline is like the other side of the same coin. Because discipline is the removal of options so as to reveal the only course of action allowed. It's the removal of options. Jim, I don't want you to sit in that chair anymore. Yeah, that one either. In fact, there's no other place in this room you're allowed to be except for standing right here. Right? Do you notice how his head was hanging down? Like, thank you. What happened? We just removed options. Okay, so what does God do to us? When he speaks to us, he'll give you instruction. Right? He'll talk to you. He'll give you information. And that information is supposed to lead to change in your life. He talks to you, right? And when he talks to you, life happens. And you want to adjust your life to follow whatever he was saying because you're a sheep and you follow his voice. That's what you do. Right? And so Jesus is giving you instructions. And you're like, yeah, that's awesome. I love it. Thank you, Jesus. But let's just suppose for a moment that you don't change your behavior when he gave you instructions. Right? So you're just sitting there. And he's like, hey, I want you to do something else. Right? And life is coming. You're like, this is awesome. I'm hearing God's voice. I'm experiencing eternal life. There is mercy happening in me. Because every time he speaks, he's being merciful. Right? So mercy's happening. I'm getting instruction. Life is exploding on the inside of me. And then all of a sudden, he's like, hey, Ava, here, focus. I'm not patting you on the back. I am telling you, now, son, you're not allowed to do that anymore. And it's the same mercy being extended. It's the same voice releasing eternal life. And what's the goal of it? To help us shape our lives. To no longer be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So that you can prove what's actually coming from God and what's not. So you know what's God's work in the world and what's not. His good and perfect will. Look at Jesus' word there. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. What's he talking about? He has given these disciples so much instruction that he has cut away everything that prevents fruitfulness. His word actually released mercy over them to adjust their lives and to come into alignment with the kingdom. He's saying to them, hey, my father, he is going to prune, you know, Christians. He's going to prune you, but don't worry. I love this. Don't worry, because I have already pruned you, is basically what Jesus is saying. My words have already cleaned you, already have snipped off the undergrowth, have already taken care of the extra foliage. I have shaped you to become fruitful. Come on, follow Jesus, he'll get you there. Matthew 6, 11 and 12. This one, I have experienced this word so many times in my life, and some of you are going to be able to understand. When we launched into ministry, we did it off of The Voice. Not the TV show, The Voice. But about hearing God's voice, like he spoke a word to us and we're like, well, we ain't got nothing else going. We'll try that. And we did what he said, right? And it worked. And at that time, I was leaving a job that was not providing for us fully, right? It was just enough to survive, but it wasn't enough for our livelihood, right? And so I'm leaving a job to embrace nothing. I have two children, and my third child is going to be born very soon. And God just says, hey, follow me. He gives us a word. He prompts my heart. Hey, I want you to start praying and worshiping. I want you to find other people that are praying and worshiping. Right? Find out what this house of prayer thing is. And there was all these little promptings along the way. And every time I would step into what I felt God was saying, provision was released. Every time. What I found is that provision is always attached to his voice. Right? Like John 10 says, he's the shepherd. He takes you out of the pen where it's safe and there was, you know, a buffet all the time. And he takes you into the wilderness and you're supposed to follow his voice, and it's after following his voice, he's the one that's going to lead you into the green pastures. You ain't going to get there on their own. Once you're out in the wilderness, you got to listen to his voice, because his voice is where the provision will be. Ooh, dang, right? Because that means leaving behind safety nets. Ow, that just, right? And that means lessons. I cannot tell you how many people have learned this lesson. I'm going to say this, and it's going to pain you when I say it. How many people have launched out thinking they're hearing God's voice, so they take a step of faith, only it turns out it was just them, right? And then there's no provision attached to it. Right? Because if you're in a boat and Jesus doesn't call you and you step out on that water, you know what that is? That is a lesson. That's a lesson. Learn the lesson. What were you trying to teach me, God? How to discern his voice? To know when it was him and when it was just you? I'm sorry. Some of you are crying right now. That's okay. How many in here like fishing? I don't have another analogy, so this is it. I remember the first time my father-in-law took me walleye fishing. And where he took me walleye fishing was up in Canada. So we went up to Lake of the Woods, and we went like 3 hours north of Lake of the Woods to some remote lake in the middle of nowhere. Right? It's season opener, and walleye are, like, jumping into the boat. But I didn't understand walleye fishing. The only kind of fishing I'd ever done was bobber fishing. Growing up, you know, you have a bobber and a hook, and you put a worm on the hook, you throw it in the water, and a fish jumps on it, right? I didn't know that there was actually some skill involved in fishing. I just thought I was throwing a bobber in. Right? And so, I'm 15 years old, by the way, when this has happened. This wasn't like last year. So we go walleye fishing for the first time, right? And he takes this line and he says, you want to take a weight and you're going to put it about 5 feet from the end of the hook, right? You're going to weight the line so that line is going to drop all the way to the bottom. And we're going to put a leech on your hook and we're going to troll, or we're going to keep the boat moving, and you're going to allow that weight to bounce across the bottom of the lake so that that leech is just floating like it is actually swimming only a foot off the ground in the bottom of the lake, because that's where the walleye are, and they are lazy. They want that leech to go right past their nose in order to bite them. Am I telling the truth? You have to be where they're at, right? And so we're out there, right? And we go to the mouth of this river, and there's rapids, and the boat's being pushed around, and we're trolling as well. And so there's rocks on the bottom of the lake, and I drop my line in. I'm like, this is awesome, right? And I know when it hits the bottom. Why? Because the line starts to pull. And so the end of my pole is going like this. It's not making that noise, but it's bending. Yeah, because if it was making that noise, what kind of pole are you using? It's bending over as the weight is hitting the bottom, right? And being dragged across the bottom. I'm feeling the tension on the line, right? And then all of a sudden, boom, and the thing bends over, like big time bends over, 180 degrees, going down. And I'm thinking, I got one. I stand up. I yank on that line. Woo, yeah, I got one. Woo, right? Only to find out, it's just hooked on a rock. Right? It's hooked on a rock on the bottom. And everybody in the boat groans. Why? Because we got to turn the boat around and go back to where Jamie hooked the bottom. See if we can unlodge the line so we don't have to cut it and restring it and all that jazz. Right? So this is my experience over and over and over. Right? And then the line goes down and I'm like, it's just another dumb rock, stink. Right? So I'm like, you know, trying to get it unlodged. Pulling on it left and right. And as I'm doing that, the thing, I'm like, oh, this isn't the bottom. This is a fish. Yeah, and so I'm reeling it in now, and I catch a fish. Victory, yeah, totally victory. Right, it was probably like this big. I don't know. But so I pull the fish in, and then I'm thinking about this. What was the difference between wee and wee? To the novice fisherman, there is no difference. To the experienced fishermen, they know the difference. They can feel it in the line. They know exactly where to set that hook. They know exactly how far off the bottom. Right? And the difference between hearing a word from the Lord and knowing you got it and hearing a word from the Lord and then, whoops, it's just the bottom. Honestly, is experience. Dude, I wish we had the thing that the Levites had, you know, with the stones and one lit up and I'm like, oh, that's what God's saying. That's cool. Unfortunately, but also you fortunate ones who are experiencing something that the world longed for before this, is that you have the Holy Spirit communing with your spirit on your inner man all the time. All the time, 100%. So often God will have said something to you and it just takes a while for it to percolate until you figure out, oh, that really was God. And then you just got to fish for a while until you figure it out. How do you figure it out? You got to pull on the line. You try the word. He told me to do this. Right? I think he told me to do this. I don't know if he told me to do this. I think he did though. I think he told me to tell my waitress that Jesus loves her. I think that God just told me to do the drive-thru difference. Sorry. Whew. How do you know if it was from God? You got to do it. You got to do it. How do you find out if it was or not? You got to try it. What if I'm wrong? What if you are? Oh, no. What if you're right? Come on. Isn't it God that loves the obedient heart? He'd rather have obedience than sacrifice. He'd rather have you be obedient to the word that really didn't come from him and not have to apologize later when you didn't act on the word that he did say. Amen. Woo! Give us our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. Give us our daily bread is the picture of manna coming from heaven every day and feeding the children of Israel. It's happened for 40 years. Every day they would get up and there would be bread on the ground. They would go and gather the bread into their homes. If they gathered more bread than they needed and they tried to save it, guess what happened to it? Worms would eat it. Ew. Right? Now you got worms in your cupboard. Half for fishing. But Jesus says this. He's teaching the disciples how to pray and he says, pray this, give us our daily bread. What's he talking about? That provision is attached to his word, his bread, the bread of life, his voice. Give us our daily bread is a statement of God, I need your provision for today. But his provision comes through his voice. He speaks to you. So when you're talking about your daily bread, you're talking about sustenance, his voice coming to you and speaking to you, right? And it also is releasing provision for the day. That might be money, that might be food, that might be whatever. He takes care of your needs, and it's always attached to his voice. And look at the second part of this. I love this because it says, and. In other words, two sentences connected together. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Remember what his voice does. It releases mercy. In other words, God, you get up and you say, God, here I am, right? I want to hear from you. And you tune your heart to hear his voice. You read his word. He speaks to you. And that daily bread, that word, illuminates your life, gives life to you, releases provision for your day, for your spirit man as well as your physical, right? But as well as it's pruning your life, and he's cutting off the stuff that isn't supposed to be in your life, as well as releasing mercy over you and connecting it to the mercy you're going to give to other people. In other words, I need to hear his voice every day because when he speaks to me, it releases mercy in my life, it gives me life, it gives me provision, it gives me all these things, but as well as it gives me grace to release mercy to other people. Come on, they're all connected. The Lord's loving kindness never ceases. His compassionate mercy never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His mercy is new every morning. His provision is new every morning. You know what that requires? That requires you to talk to him every day. You know what happens if you try to eat yesterday's bread today? It's got worms. That's the metaphor. In other words, it isn't the sustenance that you need for today. There's nothing wrong with meditating on something God spoke to you before. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you need it today. You need to hear from him. You need to hear from your Father. Mark 6:33. Are you guys doing okay? We're just plowing ahead. These are always. All right. Would you tell me if you weren't? Okay. Wow, there you go. Mark 6:33-38. The people saw that the disciples were going, and they recognized them, and they ran together on foot from all the cities, and they got there ahead of them. The disciples were crossing the lake, right? Sea of Galilee. And Jesus is with them, and the people see that where they're going, and they recognize where they're going, so they run ahead to the cities that they're going to be going to, right? Ahead of them. They got there ahead of them, and when Jesus went ashore, he saw the large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, where have we heard these metaphors before? Compassion and mercy, that he's the shepherd, right? They were like sheep without a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. When it was already quite late, the disciples came to him, says, this place is desolate. It's already quite late. Send them away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. He answered them, he said, you give them something to eat. And they said, shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat? He said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go look. In other words, what was he doing? Look at this. Just look at the progression. Jesus has mercy. He has compassion on them, right? And what's his response? To speak to them. To teach them, to speak to them. All these people are thronging because he has got the words of life, and they recognize that every time he speaks, something washes over them. It's like fresh water. Like I have been guilty my whole life, and I'm hearing this guy speak, and now I don't feel guilty. How amazing is that? Right? And so the people, they're running around, and Jesus comes on shore, and he has compassion on them, and he knows that he needs to show mercy to them. So what's his response? To speak to them. And then, oh, by the way, his voice is attached to a meal. Right? Because provision is going to be released in that same moment. And everything that those people are needing. I can end with just a couple thoughts tonight. Are you getting something out of this? Come on, how important is it for you to hear the Lord's voice? It's where life is. You don't get life from the church. We don't have some corporate grace. You got to come to church to get it so you can go to heaven. That would be the error of Catholicism. That right there. Not necessarily on all the belief systems. It's that you get grace from your priest, not from Jesus. That's a problem. You don't get grace by coming to church because of you attended the service. Do you get grace through people? You bet. Do you get grace by hearing his voice? You bet. Do you get grace when you encounter his presence in worship? You bet. All those things. But it's not the church service that gave it to you. It was the actual body. It was the actual presence. It was his voice. Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. Now, you may not like this word. I may not like this word. But the word earnestly literally means first thing. It means early. Now, early can be relative. Right? You know, for your world, early might be 4 p.m. The point isn't necessarily about the, you know, a.m., p.m., what time, all that jazz. The point is that first thing, earnestly, you recognize your need to seek him, to connect with him, because everything in your day is going to be ordered when you have connection. I have done this way too many times to, you know, have story after story after story on this thing. I start my day. I didn't connect with God. I spend the whole day trying to work. I emphasize trying. And at the end of my day, I realize I did not get as much accomplished that I was hoping to get accomplished. Right? Another day comes up. I do connect with God. Right? Life. Awesome. I start to work. I get all my work done in like 2 hours. And then I look at the rest of the day and go, what the heck am I going to do the rest of the day? Not really. Work doesn't ever really stop. But you get the point, though. Everything I was setting out to accomplish, all of a sudden there's a fruitfulness about it because life was attached to it. Versus when I didn't do that, it isn't. And that experience has been in my life over and over and over and over and over. I know that it's true. That fruitfulness comes because you connect to him. We're going to end with one verse. And this one has been a personal, it set the bar for me. It set the bar for me in my journey in God. It set the bar for me in the prophetic, learning to hear God's voice for other people and minister. This verse it set the bar in my life. It's Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 and 5. This is a window into the prophet Isaiah. Now, how many think Isaiah might have been a successful prophet? He was the reigning prophet for four kings, multiple kingdoms, multiple regimes, and he was God's guy. He's the one that got it right concerning the Messiah. He's the one that prophesied so many of the prophetic things that were going to happen, you know, in Jesus' life. Isaiah's the guy. This is incredibly encouraging, this passage of Scripture, because it turns out that Isaiah was just learning it too. The Lord has given me the tongue of a disciple. In other words, I speak what someone taught me. That I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. That I can give a word. I've learned something so that I can speak to people and that they will be sustained in their life. Grace will be given. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple or as one being taught. The Lord opened my ear, and then I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. That's Isaiah the prophet's journey right there. That every morning he would get up and he would listen for the word of the Lord. And that out of the word of the Lord, look at what it contains. You hear from God for your own provision. You hear from God to receive refreshment and life from heaven. You hear from God to receive fresh mercy and cleansing. And you hear from God so that you will have compassion and receive words of life to speak to other people for their refreshment and mercy. Come on, that connection is so vital in our relationship with the Lord and in the body of Christ. Would you jump to your feet tonight? We're going to pray that this would be activated. If you walk away with anything tonight, it's this. His word is where the life is at. It's his word. You just need to hear from him. Really, that's what you're needing. You came in here, you have a lack, you're needing to hear from him. Every time God speaks, life is released. Every time Jesus spoke, you saw people getting healed, demons leaving, all that stuff. It comes because of his word. If you got brokenness in your life or you need provision in your life, if that's you, it's in his word. All the life is in the seed. It's all in his word. Just put your hand on your heart right now. We're just going to pray right now for a corporate grace to be released for hearing the word of the Lord, that we would understand what he's saying, that we would be able to see, to hear, to perceive God's voice. Amen? Anybody with me there? All right. So, Father in heaven, right now, I just thank you. I thank you, God, that you love your children. God, that you're speaking to them. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, that you're speaking to each person. That each sheep actually knows your voice. That your voice isn't coming from booming voices out of heaven, but it's coming from within. You are speaking to us. You're here with us in the midst of us. God, I thank you that your provision is attached to that. I thank you, God, that life is attached to that. I thank you that your mercy, that you think you did something so wrong. Listen, you didn't do something so wrong that God won't forgive you. You just need to hear from him. If you ask your father, if you ask your daddy to forgive you, he's going to forgive you. You just got to turn to him like the prodigal. Come home. What are you doing out there? You just need to hear his voice. And so, Father, I thank you for that grace right now. Just declare a release of that afresh in every heart. Come on, just receive. Declare that release right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Just say, I receive it. Come on, it comes by hearing. So you heard, you got it. Right now, I want you to take that same hand, put it on your neighbor's shoulder. Come on. Now, give away what God just released to you. Come on, just say this with me. I release to you that grace. Come on. Grace to you. Ears of your heart be opened. That you would understand the word of the Lord. That you would perceive his voice. That everything you need in life, you would receive. Come on, and everyone that agreed with that said, amen, amen. Can we give a good clap to the Lord tonight?